Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, happy Tuesday, Joe Beamer with you here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I know, I just repeated everything the big voice guy said, but hope you're having a great start to your day. It is the day before the fair opens, and we'll get talking about that in the second hour. But as always, so much going on. And as the song that David put together said, so much to get to, it's difficult to get to all that stuff. I'm paraphrasing the lines of the song. But I cannot do a show today and ignore the party that cries wolf. That is the Democratic Party in 2025. Everything Trump does, it's a freak out. It's an overreaction. The county executive, Mark Poloncarz, has 4 days in a row posted things, some of which have nothing to do with Erie County. Now, I understand he has a bigger job in his mind that, let's be honest, he's not going to get, right? He's not going to beat Langworthy. He's not going to beat Claudia Tenney. And I am still convinced that he is going to run for re-election in Erie County and say he has to do it because of Trump. But, I mean, this started 2 days ago. Mark Poloncarz puts, in a democratic society, all of us need to understand and know our nation's history, the good and bad parts. When a nation rewrites its past, it veers into authoritarianism prior generations fought against. History museums should never be subject to government censorship. Now, he's talking about Smithsonian taking down the impeachment exhibit, okay? Now, let's be real. The American people know Donald Trump was impeached twice, right? We heard it for the 4 years he wasn't in the White House. We heard it all through the election. People know that. And guess what, Mr. Poloncarz? No one cared. He won the popular vote. He was re-elected president. No one cares about the politically motivated impeachments. No one cared about the political motivated lawfare that was used against him. People didn't care. Now, I don't disagree that the display should be put up at the Smithsonian, but it's an overreaction. They're going to be back up. The Smithsonian said that. But this is coming from the same guy who 5 years ago, he and his party were removing monuments and statues from America's past. And yes, not the most pleasant of pasts, but in his statement right here, the good and the bad parts. If you don't learn from history, you repeat it. He's the same one, he and his party, that wanted the Columbus statue taken down. In Virginia, Monument Avenue, all the monuments taken down. Now that it's a part of America's history. Yes, it's not our proudest moment as a country, but it is part of our history. You're saying that the good and the bad should be there because that's, and I agree, that's how you learn from history, is you don't ignore the bad parts. But what happened in 5 years? No, he just wants, he didn't have anything to cry about for Trump. And so he had to find something to cry about because this is every day. This is the Democratic Party every day. Let me tell you, for 4 years, Biden or whoever was the actual president was awful. But my gosh, I went weeks without addressing the guy. Now, I realize I'm not an elected official. I don't have a higher job. I'm not eyeing a higher job. I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing now. But this is every or most Democratic politician. And the media plays right along with them. And I've got to say, did they not learn the story, The Boy Who Cries Wolf? Because that's what this is, right? In April, tariffs are going to sink the economy. It's done, but they didn't sink the economy. Then it was, you know, Trump goes back on everything, right? The taco references. Again, nothing. They had for a month there, they were having a protest that seemed every day downtown. We had, you know, everyone 65 and older at the No Kings protest. But everything the guy does, they push back on. And then you have the county executive, Kathy Hochul, in the words that Democrats use when talking about, remember, I forgot who it was, said something about Democrats in the crosshairs. I think it was Sarah Palin said something like that. And oh my gosh, how could she say such a thing? Yet you have Kathy Hochul yesterday saying that she's going to war with Republicans. You have Mark Poloncarz in Amherst who said that he wants to eliminate the Republicans in Amherst. These are the words that elected officials, they jump on everything Trump says. Everything the man says, they criticize. Everything he does, they criticize, except for John Fetterman. John Fetterman's the only one, probably because he looks at the way his state votes, who, when you know he thinks Trump did something good, he'll comment on it. Now, again, I think John Fetterman's still a leftist, but at least he's not, oh my gosh, freaking out every time Trump puts pen to paper, like Mark Warner or Elizabeth Warren. Like, I knew I'd be happy with another Trump term, but I forgot about the side activities that happen on social media and the gifts that we are given from our elected officials. But for the governor, for Mark Poloncarz, and these are just two local examples, to use such words about Republicans, again, they would freak out. If Donald Trump said he was going to war with Democrats, we'd be having a panel on CNN or saying he wanted to eliminate Democrats, like Mark Poloncarz said about Republicans. There'd be a panel on CNN. Caitlin Collins would be there. How could you support something like this? Did you hear what he said? But they're fine to say it. And again, the overreaction to the gerrymandering, like we talked about yesterday, and you look at some of these states, you look at Illinois. I talked to a Illinois state senator yesterday, and you know, he talked about the way the lines are drawn in Illinois, and you know, it is kind of ironic that the Texas legislature went to Illinois. It put this spotlight on the state of Illinois and just how, I mean, you look at some of these. There is one, David said it earlier, there's one district that looks like it's a river. You didn't realize it's that. No, it's a district. And the way the districts are drawn here, right? Conveniently, Tim Kennedy has the city of Buffalo up to Niagara Falls for a reliably blue district. And, you know, they group the Republicans as much. I mean, I'm in a district with Hornell, New York, for crying out loud. So the way that, I mean, they do it in New York. They do it in Illinois. They do it in Texas. But why is this getting all the freak out? But because it's Trump. Because Trump wants it. And the media will get on and they'll gang up on Trump. They always do. And I would like to know, you know, the lesson we learned from the boy who cries wolf, that if you keep saying something that's not happening, eventually people will ignore you. But the Democrats have the advantage of a majority of the mainstream media on their side. They will repeat the calls. They will write repeated articles in dying newspapers. Like I said, CNN will have a 10-person panel with one Republican and nine Democrats. And it's just like, I mean, what I pointed out yesterday, what we've heard about climate change since the 70s. You want to talk about the boy who cried wolf. Climate change since the 70s. If you missed yesterday's program, or maybe you left before we played this, this was 1978. Hear what they say their grandkids, which, by the way, this guy's old enough, his grandkids would be my age in 2025. Listen to the how he explained what the climate would be like for his grandkids.
What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an ice age is not as remote as they once thought. During the lifetime of our grandchildren, Arctic cold and perpetual snow could turn most of the inhabitable portions of our planet into a polar desert.
And that just didn't happen. That didn't happen. We're continuing to hear the climate change lies. I mean, AOC told us, what, 6 years ago that we had 5 years left. Now, again, if we're following any other metric, if we're following anything else in your life, right? If your kid says, you know, hey, this happened, and it didn't happen, well, the third time, joke's on you if you believe it again, right? With climate change, we're being told all this dramatic stuff's going to happen, but we're not seeing it. There's no perpetual snow. You know what I mean? You've got Democrat leaders, again, telling us, hey, you've got to calm down your plane use. You got to calm down the driving. But they take private planes from Texas to Illinois for $100,000. Again, no consistency. But yet, why are we still talking about climate change? Why are we focusing on Texas like no other state gerrymanders? Because you've got the networks, you've got most cable news in your back pocket. And yes, less and less people are watching this, but you still have enough people who will see this. They'll echo it. You've got colleges and professors and teachers who are teaching as if their opinion is fact. And that's why these elected officials can continue to cry wolf. Again, Trump's been president for 7 months. Half the things these people have said aren't even close to being a reality. But it's the scare tactics. It is the scare tactics. Trump is trying to erase history, according to the county executive. Trump's tariffs are going to ruin the economy. All of these things that we continue to hear. And again, where's the proof? And what is the average person's appetite for continued outrage over things that aren't happening? I really would like to see. Because like I said yesterday, this plays into why the Democratic Party is one of the most unpopular parties of all time. And if it weren't for the media, could you imagine how low those poll numbers would be? But most people who aren't, you know, who don't absorb politics 24/7, and I know I'm guilty of that, and if you're, most of you out there are probably guilty to some extent of taking in a ton of political information on a regular basis. But for your average citizen, who, you know, yeah, they know who the president is. Yeah, they pay attention in election year. The average person isn't freaking out daily over Trump's tariffs. They're not taking a magnifying glass to the map of Texas to look at the gerrymandering. They're living their lives. They're spending time with their family. They're spending time with their friends, talking about things other than politics. They're not online looking up the registration status of Sydney Sweeney, right? Again, they're paying attention to things in their life. And I think for the average American, the few times you hear from Kathy Hochul, Mark Poloncarz, Chuck Schumer, and it's, you know, at the house, you know, everything's on fire every time, I do think the average American is going to start blocking that out. And I think the average American is like, I can't put up with not only the wokeism coming out of the Democratic Party. And by the way, it's a week later and CNN is still complaining about the Sydney Sweeney ad. I got a clip for you later in the show. But I think the average American looks at this and says, yeah, I can't take my elected officials seriously if every time they open their mouth, if every time, no matter if it's on their social media, their state of the county address, an engagement, if every time the world is on fire, according to them, eventually I'm just not going to, when I see Mark Poloncarz speaking, I'm going to turn the channel. That's your average citizen. And again, I think this plays into the bigger picture of why the Democratic Party is so unpopular. You have a lot of factors in there. But I do think it's rich. You're going to complain about the impeachment display at the Smithsonian, which, by the way, is going to be replaced. You complain about that because we need to, you know, we need to recognize the good and the bad of America's history. Yet 5 years ago, you were asking for every statue known to be torn down. I mean, that was a month in 2020. Remember that? So, good stuff. Hey, I will say this, and I will thank the county executive because thanks to him, my job is easier. He gives me so much content. Poloncarz, Hochul, Schumer, they give me so much content. It makes planning a show very easy, and I do sincerely have to thank them for the material that they give me here to do this show on this legendary station. So I do want to say thanks to them. And by the way, tomorrow's Wednesday, we still don't have a Democrat for our Wednesday with Democrats segment. So if you'd like to volunteer, joe.beamer@wben.com, or you can text me on the text board. Because yes, we're at the fair tomorrow, but I would still like to continue the segment. We finally got some legs to this segment. Let's not let it die now. Come on. Help me out here. 803-0930-star-930. Do you have any thoughts on anything I just said? Do you want to push back? Do you want to agree? Do you want to add something? You can also text in 803-0930-star-930 to join the show. When we come back, MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. How can you be against Make America Healthy Again? I'll tell you how. Yeah, I'm not against it, but I'll tell you why the other side is after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930, WBEN 803-0930, star 930, gets you onto this very program. I want to thank each and every one of you, those who like me, those who hate listen, those who agree, those who disagree. I am so fortunate to have this audience and hopefully an audience that we are building every day as this new show continues on. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be at the fair. Starting tomorrow, I'll be at the fair every weekday and Sunday. So I'll be at the fair every day but Saturday. Probably would have been the easier way to say that. At our little Odyssey tent. I don't know if it's little. At our Odyssey tent. And 1 to 3, you'll be able to see the broadcast live. Let me tell you, it's not overly interesting, but during the breaks, I look forward to meeting as many listeners as possible. And I look forward to, I'm judging the food. I'll be one of the food judges on Thursday, so I'll be talking with you about that on Thursday's program. But so I say, if you're going to the fair, you've got to come see the Odyssey tent. This is not the topic, this segment. But if you want to text in 803-0930, what should I do at the fair this year? If you remember last year, I rode the bull. Now, I'd love to do that again. But what is something you would like to see Joe Beamer do? What's something I need to check out at the fair this year? Text it in 803-0930, star 930. By the way, so last segment, I said I'm looking for a Democrat for my Wednesdays with Democrats segment, and now I have two Democrats who have volunteered to be on the segment. So I'm honored that both reached out. So we'll have to put one this week and one next week. I'll make that decision during the break. Now, David talked about this at the beginning of his show, and he's absolutely correct on Maha and, you know, The fact that, hey, yes, we're not going to let people go hungry, obviously. But we also need to, if you are taking tax dollars, if you're taking me, Jimmy's hard-earned money, and buying a meal with it, or buying your food with it, well, yeah, I'd like you to have healthier food. You know, and this is kind of what we talked about last week with the presidential fitness test. Right. Yeah, I realize, hey, you know, people my age and older, live your life the way you want to live your life. Right. Obviously, we have an issue in this country. By the way, 5 years ago, I was complaining about gyms not being opened yet. And I think I was 100% right. But we have an issue in this country with obesity, with being overweight. Right. I mean, it's something that I have struggled with up and down my whole life. Right. I lost a ton of weight in 2014, put it back on during the pandemic. Thanks to the great people at Awaken 180. I lost 50 pounds, feel great, have tons of energy. But we need to make sure that the younger generation, the kids that are going through school now, are set up in the best way possible to have a better life. Because what we're seeing is you eat a bunch of junk food, you're overweight, you're lacking energy, you're not as productive, and it's also a trait that, I mean, come on, we see it, it's passed down from generation to generation. And this administration is trying to stop that. And, you know, as I said last week, this is not a, I am one of these people. I believe everyone should feel comfortable in their own skin. No matter, you know, how you look, you should be comfortable in your own skin. So this is nothing like, you know, shame people who are overweight. What we need to do is make sure that the younger generation does not complete the trend. And that trend is not just appearance. That trend is more sick, more trips to the doctor, more trips to the hospital, heart disease, higher risk of cancers. And if you are getting assistance from the United States, from tax dollars, well, then you shouldn't be able to use those that assistance for stuff that's going to put you in the hospital. Right? You can't go to the store and buy cigarettes with your food stamps. That's crazy. So you shouldn't be able to go to the store and get fatty junk food. Yes, you should be able to live, not be hungry. But I'm sorry, your cart shouldn't be full of chocolate candies and potato chips and dips and all this stuff. Should be healthy. It should be, you know, fruits, vegetables, meat. And that's what this administration's trying to do. By the way, this is what Bobby Kennedy said yesterday at the rollout.
I'm also working with Secretary Rollins on the dietary guidelines, which should come out next month. The dietary, or they're coming out, I think it's at the end of September, 3 months ahead of schedule. And the dietary guidelines that we inherited from the Biden administration were 453 pages long. They were driven by the same commercial impulses that put Fruit Loops at the top of the food pyramid. And they were incomprehensible. And we are going to release dietary guidelines that are 4, 5, or 6 pages long, that are understandable, that are simple, and will allow people to make good choices about their food. They will drive changes in the school lunch program and prison lunches and military food, and they will begin to change America almost immediately.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the food pyramid, and I mean, just the dis, you want to talk about a disadvantage. Jimmy, we're on the same age. We were taught the food pyramid. And just how out of touch that is with what we know. I mean, the food pyramid wanted you to have 6 to 8 servings of grains every day. I mean, if you remember the way the food pyramid, it was loaves of bread, pasta. Now, don't get me wrong. I love bread and pasta. Nothing goes together like bread and pasta, right? And then you take the bread and you get all the remaining sauce from the pasta on the bread. That's delicious. That also, that's 6 to 8 servings of that a day is bad to begin with. Now, if you're not active, if you're not like Jimmy and ride your bike to work, Jimmy can have whatever he wants. The guy is he's moving right now during the show. He's getting his steps in, right? Jimmy and Tanner, they ride their bikes into work. Tanner runs into work sometimes. I mean, that's a whole different beast. But for the average American who spends the day on their butt, who spends their day, you know, thinking about what their next meal is, and I'm guilty of that, by the way, the food pyramid is not something to follow. You should not be having 6 to 8 servings of grains, of pasta and bread, white bread, with all the nutrients bleached out of it. So that, we were taught the wrong thing. And then you put these chemicals that are being put in our food, the pharmaceutical companies and the money that they're making off how sick people are because of the crap they're eating. So this administration's going to get down to the bottom of it. You know, they've made sure that if you're going to get Medicaid, again, we're not cutting you off of Medicaid, but you have to go work. If you're able-bodied, you have to go, you have to work, you have to lift a finger Well, more than one, because a lot of people are lifting a finger because of their opposition to this. But again, if you're a hardworking, this is what I don't understand. If I was not working, sitting on my butt, not looking for a job, yeah, I'd be upset that you're going to make me work 20 hours and now you're going to tell me what I can buy with my assistance. What I don't understand are the people who go and work every day. They're up early because they have to be on a structured schedule because, again, they work. And are those people are complaining about what this administration's doing with Medicaid and with government assistance. Again, I don't want anyone to go hungry. I don't want anyone to go without basic health insurance. But man, if you're able-bodied, you got to do something for it. We are not in a position to just pay everyone to sit at home and do nothing. And you would think people who go to work every day, people who know what it's like to get asked to do overtime and are in the office late because I got to get this report done, you think those people would be 100% behind this, even if you hate the president. If you can't stand his stance on tariffs and even if you just, you would think that you could at least put your support behind this and not push back on asking able-bodied people to do 20 hours a week. 20 hours a week. That's a joke. I'd love to only work 20 hours a week. Well, no, I wouldn't because I love what I do. But it's the people who again, I get the politicians. I get Tim Kennedy pushing back against it. Of course. Tim Kennedy wants to be able to get votes. And if now able-bodied people have to go and work to get Medicaid, maybe they find a job where eventually they're in a position where they don't need the government. And they go, wow, that was too easy. This party's been feeding me lies, trying to buy my vote with government assistance. Maybe I see what the other side's doing. So that's why Democrats in positions of power, of course they want the gravy train to keep up. They want people to live, to be on assistance. They want people dependent on the government. It's one of the few talked about differences between the two major parties, is Democrats want more expect more dependence on the government. And this is something we talked about last week. You know, I don't want the government holding my hand. That's not why the government's here. Yes, if I fall in tough times, if Tim Wenger walks to that door and says, Joe, you don't have a job anymore. Yeah, it's nice to have unemployment to fall back on while I get myself back on my feet. But it shouldn't be something that I'm depending on 3 or 4 years down the road. Right? You got time to get back on your feet and put some job applications out there. Have Jimmy send me a demo tape. Right? I mean, stuff like that. So I don't understand hardworking Americans pushing back on this. But again, Democrats, of course. And this is why they've gone 180. I mean, it used to be the Democrats who would talk about, the obesity epidemic. And Michael Bloomberg, who wanted to outlaw the Big Gulp. Which, again, you see this in Texas. That's the Democrats' way to handle something. If we don't like it, we just get rid of it. As in, we're saying, no, we're not going to get rid of it. But if you are using government assistance, we're not going to let you get it. We're not going to let you use government assistance to have junk food, which then makes you sick. So now you need more from Medicaid. And we're not going to do that anymore. And we're going to promote a healthy lifestyle for the younger generation in the household. This goes right on top of the presidential fitness test. Now when, you know, if a family needs help and they have school-age children, the kids aren't going to be able to run home and, you know, again, have gummy bears and all this crap that there's no healthy substance to it. It's all just crap. Again, don't get me wrong. We all love a cheat day. Everyone loves a cheat day. But you're promoting a healthier lifestyle, and the healthier we are, The more energy we have, the more productivity we have. That's what it's all about. It's not about shaming people, because that's what you'll hear. You'll hear people say, oh, you know, what's this, fat shaming? I'm not fat shaming. My gosh, you look at my 37 years on this earth, I've been overweight more than I've been thin, okay? I was very lucky in 2014 to lose a ton of weight. Very fortunate to have the great people at Awaken last year to lose weight. But a lot of times in my life, I struggled, right? It was a struggle. I get it. I'm not shaming anybody. And again, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the next generation. And that's going to be helped by this initiative as well. So I would just don't fall for the Kathy Hochul, the Mark Poloncarz, the Elizabeth Warren, the freakouts over this. Even if you don't like Trump, you have to admit that if you're able-bodied, then yeah, we should expect something from you. Again, it doesn't even have to be a job. It can be volunteer work. We should expect something from you. And again, I applaud I applaud the administration on doing that. 803-0930, star 930. If you want to join the conversation, you know, I want to get into this a little bit more next hour. But when I was driving into work this morning, I was going down a road. It's one of those roads in Amherst that it's not a main road, but you would never say it's not a busy road. Does that make sense? It's not a main road. There's stop signs, not stop lights. But it's not a busy road. And there was this woman walking with her kid, and it was on a turn. I'll just say what road it was. It was Getzville and Amherst, okay? And it was on a turn right after the entrance to the college right there, Damon College. And she just runs across the street. I have to slam on my brakes. She runs across the street with her dog or kid and her, obviously. Now, there was a stop sign maybe 2/10 of a mile away. I mean, you could see the stop sign. Instead, she decides to run in front of traffic in kind of a blind spot. And I'm seeing this more and more. Again, not on busy streets. You're not seeing people do it on Sheridan. But I'm seeing it on these, again, during rush hour, are busier streets. Right? No one drives down my street. Okay? People drive down this street. You would never trust, you know, a kid who just learned how to ride their bike to go down this street, right? On Getzville. And I've noticed this more and more. And you know, there's a lot of things. I'm sure, you know, people would look at the way I parent and say, Joe, you're an awful parent. To me, that's unacceptable. To not use the crosswalk. Again, you want to do that. Again, it is legal. But you want to do that? Fine. When you have your kid, you should be following every road rule there is for the safety of the kid. It's not even about teaching a lesson. The safety of the kid. Because on that turn, if there was a car coming, you know, full speed behind me, I'm calling insurance companies. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in trouble. I would have been in an accident. So I don't know what, you didn't gain anything. There was a stop sign just a few more steps down the street, follow the stop sign. But I'm seeing this more and more, and I've seen it on roads like I said, you wouldn't call them busy streets, but busier, Roll Road. Now, my house is near a crosswalk on Roll Road, but if you continue to drive down the street, I have seen people, again, with their kids pushing a stroller, cross. There's no crosswalk, no stop sign. And Roll Road, my gosh, you get into Clarence, people are going Roll Road a lot faster than I would. So I want to know from you, 803-0930, star 930. What you've seen and where you've seen people just crossing the street, no crosswalk, cars coming. Where is it bad where you are? And is there a confusion? I know there's a confusion on how to use traffic circles. I'm reminded every time I go pick up my son at my parents' house. But is there a confusion? Is there a confusing crosswalk somewhere in Western New York that I'm not seeing? 803-0930, star 930. And while we're on the topic of traffic, I have a rule, and there are streets in this town streets in this region where people should not be parking on the road. We got to stop the madness. And I'll talk about it after this break. 803-0930, star 930. Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Ask and you shall receive. So tomorrow, the fair opens. But don't worry, it's still a Wednesday. And we are going to have Wednesday with a Democrat. And Bill in Williamsville will be very happy because tomorrow our Democrat will be Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. He'll join me. Now, I know usually we do it at 1. Tomorrow we'll do it at 11:35 because I'm going to, you know, introduce the fair and everything. And then the following week, Frank in Amherst, you've heard him call in. Frank in Amherst will be our Democrat the following Wednesday, also at the fair. Not that Frank's going to be at the fair. I'll be at the fair. And Frank will be our Democrat that following Wednesday. So we now have the next two Wednesdays full of, I know we started, it was going to be Wednesday with an elected official. That's just going to be too difficult to keep on going. So I'm happy to have Frank. He'll hop on. Jack O'Donnell will be on one of these ones. We have a request out to Congressman Tim Kennedy to join us 1 week. So I'm happy to say that I asked on the air two people. Frank emailed me. Happy to say Frank will join us in 2 weeks. Kevin Hardwick will be on with us tomorrow. So we've got the next 2 weeks of Fridays with a Democrat. I'm sorry, Wednesdays with a Democrat all taken care of. And then, Tanner, I'm not sure I'm going to be on my own show the two Wednesdays after that. So it might have to go on hiatus for a couple weeks. Anyway, 803-0930, star 930. By the way, anything I mentioned in the first segment, if you want it, if you want to talk about it, the lines are still open for that, obviously. I know people have busy lives and, you know, you might want to comment on something and now's your chance. Anyway, so I talked about people with their kids crossing the street at a non-crosswalk. I think that's unacceptable. Again, do what you want to do. It is illegal. But when you have a kid, you know, if you're pushing a stroller or have a little kid, you should not be crossing at random spots. It's just too dangerous. And I saw that today and my heart stopped. I mean, it was just, thankfully, my brakes are good. I mean, if this was Joe Beamer of old, I'd be on there on brakes that were about to go. My brakes were good, but that's just completely unacceptable. And again, when you can see the crosswalk 0.2 mile down the street, it doesn't hurt to just walk. Now, another thing that I have seen on the roads that just boggles the mind. Now, I know it's legal. I know what I'm about to say. Joe, there's no law against that. I get it. But when you're driving down a road that has, you know, a yellow line and then two lanes on each side, but no shoulder, and people in the summer will park in one of the two lanes, right? Eggert in Tonawanda is a prime example of what I'm talking about. There's no shoulder. And people will be driving side by side, and then a car is parked there, and, you know, they have to slam on their brakes, or they try to merge, and, you know, they don't have the space to merge. That is something that we need. You know, we've got people complaining about, and I don't disagree, some of the bike lanes. Now, I think bikers should have a lane and everything, but, you know, you look on Sweet Home here, that bike lane, I'm always afraid that my tire is over the line and then I overcompensate. And next thing you know, I'm over the yellow line. So I get the gripe there. How come no one is talking about these cars that park, again, in the lane on a road that has stoplights? I think if your street has stoplights, you should not be able to park on the street if there's no shoulder. If there's stoplights and no shoulder, we need to either change the layout of the road and make that second lane the shoulder and not a lane, or we need to be a little more strict on where people are parking, because that is a hazard, especially at night. You ever go driving, you know, in the 11 o'clock hour and you're on a road like that? I mean, there'll be a car that will just, you know, pop out of nowhere. I think it's overly dangerous, And again, we need to do something about it. We're putting people in a pretty dangerous situation. And we're talking about roads where, you know, people's foot are on the pedal. People are gassing down those roads, and you've got these cars just parked in the lane. I don't get it. I can't believe that there hasn't been anything done about it. Now, obviously, in the winter, this isn't much of an issue because, you know, at certain hours, you have to park anyway, or you have to get your car off the road anyway. That's why, again, people will say, well, Joe, where are they supposed to park? They find somewhere to park in the winter, right? They find a lot to park in the winter. We should be asking them to do that all time. There's no reason a lane should be taken up by parked cars in the middle of the day or in the middle of the night. I don't know. Maybe this is not the outrage that I cannot believe it's still happening. 803-0930, star 930. Let's look at the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Someone says, I've been almost hit by more times crossing at a crosswalk than I ever crossing maybe 100, 200 feet away. Really? Now, that's interesting. Again, do what you want to do. I couldn't imagine, like, having my kid in the stroller and just crossing at a random spot in the street that's not a crosswalk. But, you know, Tom was talking about, you know, the lines on roads around Western York. And by the way, another road where the lines are just confusing as hell is the Skajakuta, is the 198. And I agree. I mean, I agree. There are confusing roads in Western New York. But what adds to it is are these streets where, I mean, I guess you've already counted that lane out from being a usable lane. So why don't we just do the right thing and make it the shoulder? Let's not confuse people. Because if you get, let's use Eggert for an example. If you jump on Eggert in the right lane and you're driving at a nice leisurely pace and all of a sudden a car, you realize it's parked, it's not moving. Now you have to slam on your brakes. Now you got to look to get over to the other lane. Well, so it was a tease from the beginning. So we should have just made that a shoulder. That really should just be a shoulder. Instead of it's not only a hazard to you. Now it's a hazard to the guy that you're trying to cut in front of, or gal that you're trying to cut in front of. Now they have to stop or they have to speed up. I don't think it's rational to keep going like this. I think we need to have some kind, and I'm not all for the government getting in the way, but we need to either have no parking at all times, like, you know, they do on a lot of streets, right? You can't park on Sheridan in front of Whole Foods and just leave your car there. That is against the law. Well, I would argue there are times where Eggert is very busy, or Colvin, and to get over at last second is quite difficult and going to cause some kind of a ruckus. So, I don't know. Like I said, the traffic circles have become more confusing. You've got crosswalks. You got people not using the crosswalks. And you got people parking on the road in a lane. Why is it acceptable on Eggert? I realize Eggert is residential. There's houses there, but it's a busy road. You can park there in the lane. Again, I would say at certain times of the day, that's like parking in front of Whole Foods on Sheridan. 803-0930, star 930. Dan and Tonawanda. Dan, what do you think of the stuff I'm saying?
Well, I got to say, I live off of Delaware, and I go home, you know, almost on a daily basis down Delaware. When I have to turn in onto my street, there's a guy that always parks there. He's lived there for years. I've been on the same street all my life. So I know for a fact that I can't tell you how many times he's had a mirror you know, ripped off or the side of the vehicle all damaged and stuff. He still parks out there. I don't understand it. It just drives me crazy because I can't take a right onto my street. And it's only supposed to be one-way traffic. So, but I really called in for that call. That text board guy was spot on. I mean, that's a false sense of security, that crosswalk. I'm not saying that you should not walk the crosswalk, but if you are walking that, don't think that that's going to save you from anything, because I can tell you a lot of my friends got rear-ended, some on motorcycles, and got hurt really bad. In fact, one of the guys that used to work for you did, Tony, I think, got rear-ended one time when he was on his motorcycle. And you know, they're just like the bike lanes, you know, it's a false sense of security. Oh yeah, don't go in a bike lane. I'm telling you, I'm on a motorcycle, and people don't see me. They're not going to see a bicyclist. It's a bad idea having these bike lanes in busy streets, and a false sense of security when you're crossing a street. I don't care if you cross at the middle of the road or at the crosswalk. You have to look and pay attention. This boils down to common sense. Make sure you're paying attention before you cross. Don't text while you're walking. I had a neighbor, she passed away. A young girl, and horrific, and because she was texting while she was, looking down on her phone, she went right into the street, and it happens. I mean, so you know, common sense has to play a huge role in whatever you do in society, especially crossing a busy road, especially today with people texting all the time on their phones. It's horrific. All the people texting, I can't believe they don't buckle down on that more. And I've heard people say, oh, I see the police texting. Well, the police are allowed to. They're authorized to be able to use your phone anytime that they need to. There's a big difference in a police officer using it than a regular citizen looking down on their phone texting while they're eating their sandwich or holding their coffee. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Or keep an eye on the dog. Make sure the dog doesn't get in your way, that type of thing. It just drives me nuts.
Well, the phone has led, the phone has led to, I mean, like you said, not just driving while texting, but yeah, also walking while texting, doing anything in public while moving, the phone should not be involved. I mean, numerous times I've seen when I'm walking down the bike path, you know, my son and I in the stroller, and I'll see people that will, I mean, they will literally be walking right into me because they're just glued to their phone, and I'll have to get out of the way. You see it time and time again.
I know I'm in a parking lot right now, and I'm in a different parking lot, but you see the chaos in parking lots. And these kids today have these electric scooters or bikes or whatever they have. They're flying in and out of traffic. And I seen yesterday the one kid went flying right in front of somebody. And this guy, he didn't see it until the last second. It was a girl. Lucky that girl didn't get hit. And I said, oh, my God, I took a deep breath, because, it could be your kid, doing yep. something like that. And you got to teach your kids those e-bikes, the electric bikes. They're fun, but they're dangerous. They're very dangerous. They're fast. And people have to respect the parking lots and the roads, and they don't. Today, the phone has distracted everybody. I mean, my kids, my one daughter, she's nonstop. She's looking down at anything constantly. It's like, pay attention. What's going on around you? I mean, put the phone down. Watch the concert. Watch the show. Don't always have to take a picture or be a selfie of you. you're missing everything. And then the phone is a big distraction on the roads today, and what I would say the most is, even though it was a crosswalk, don't think that crosswalk is going to save you from anything, because I know plenty of people that got rear-ended and hurt or even killed recently in the city of Tonawanda.
No, for sure. I mean, obviously, you got to look both ways and observe the road. You know, Dan, it's funny you mention concerts, because I was guilty, and BMaz used to make fun of me on the morning show. I was guilty of filming, concerts and everything. And I got to say, I've been to three concerts in the last 3 weeks, thanks to the good people here at Odyssey and at Roswell Park. And let me tell you, I have not taken one video. I've taken a picture, but not one video, because you're right. You want to take in the moment. You don't want to try to get the video. You're living it. You're there. Try to take it all in.
And not only that, it's cool to take a picture, but the thing is, how many times you go back on the video and actually watch the video? You know what I mean? You really don't. Even I caught myself when I first had, the cell phone, doing that. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm missing the whole thing. I'm missing it live. You're kind of watching it through your phone, and it really doesn't make any sense. It's kind of stupid if you think about it.
It really is. Dan, it's a great point and great call, man. I really appreciate it. Dan in Tonawanda, 803-0930, star 930. These electric scooters, Dan mentioned it, whizzing in and out of the parking lot. He's absolutely right. Did these things just come out of nowhere? Like, it's like all of a sudden, last summer I was in Los Angeles And you could, you know, you could rent a scooter around Santa Monica. And that was cool. That was fun. It seems like this summer, all of a sudden, everyone's on those scooters. They're not the rental kind. Everyone's just bought an electric scooter. I feel like we went from 0 to 100 in one season. They're all over the place now. There is a kid in my neighborhood. This kid will circle the neighborhood nonstop with that electric scooter. And it seems like every kid has one, even though I think you have to be 18 to actually ride one. But they're all over the place. And Dan's right. You see them in and out of the parking lot. I see them on the bike path where they're not supposed to be. I see them all over the neighborhood. Every kid seemingly has an electric scooter now. I hate to be this guy, but I was a fan of just riding my bike when I was a kid. You know, getting the physical activity. But I liked the bike. Do we need everything to have a motor now? You got electric scooters, you got electric bikes. Whatever happened to just, you know, riding a regular bike? Using your power, your momentum. I don't want to sound, I'm sounding like a boomer. I don't mean to. I'm just saying, what happened? What is so unpopular? Especially for kids, right? I'm not talking about adults. Yeah, the motorized scooters are fun. I'm not going to lie. But when I was a kid, like, you know, you want to, still, like, I could never, I don't want to ride an electric bike. I don't even ride a regular bike. But if I had a bike, it would be more for workout purposes. When you're a kid, you want to be outside. You want to be enjoying everything. Yeah, you ride your bike down the street to Tanner's house. Tanner's got an N64. You play there. You come back. Now everyone's just zipping around on electric scooters. And it's fun, but it's not. Doesn't take the energy. It's not the activity that it used to be. Dave in Buffalo. Dave.
Yes, sir. So I was on Main Street yesterday in front of Buffalo, University of Buffalo, and the bicycle lane is right in the right-hand driving lane, right in the middle of the lane. It's not a separate lane. It's right there, bicycle lane.
That bothers the heck out of me, Dave. Yes.
That's unbelievable, you know. And people are concerned about Sheridan. And, you know, Sheridan had defined bike lanes. I understand where there's concern, but I don't think you're going to have any little kids on that street. They're going to be somebody with confidence that's going to be riding on Sheridan in a bike lane. Believe me when I tell you that, you know. But when I saw the bike lane in the middle of the driving lane in front of UB, and it goes all the way up into Snyder, you know, it's just like, holy cow.
You have the same issue right here by the state. I know exactly what you're talking about on Main Street, and there's the same issue here on Sweet Home, Dave, where the bike lane goes through the right-hand turning lane, and, you know, if there's a biker coming, you get confused. You don't want to do the wrong thing, but you also don't want to get rear-ended. It puts you in a tough situation.
Right, it really does.
Hey, Dave, appreciate the call, man.
You're welcome.
Dave in Buffalo. Yeah, that's a tough one. Again, as a non-biker, you know, I'm not going to hit the biker, but I also don't want to have to slam on my brakes for the person behind me. Is that on the driver? Is it on the biker to notice what's going on with the traffic and stop and let the traffic and let the car get into the turning lane before they proceed? That's the question. That needs to be a little more defined. And again, I would argue, you know, we had this conversation with Jim Stigliano a few months ago when I was filling in for David. And he brought up a good point. I mean, Jimmy brought up a good point. Yeah, you might want to see that turn with the turn lane, but then you've got people, are they going to turn into the biker? So I get it. It's a tough situation, but I'm with Dave. I mean, it puts you in an uncomfortable situation when there's bikers coming. And I've dealt with that right here on Sweet Home. Sweet Home not as busy, obviously, as Main Street, where UB South is at Bailey. By the way, that intersection, here's a story. So that intersection, this was at a time where I was getting a lot of traffic tickets. Again, not the proudest I've been of myself. And I took a left on Main and Bailey, which you're not supposed to do, right? You're supposed to take the lane up and over. You're not supposed to take a left at Main and Bailey. And I did, and a cop pulled me over. Now, this is when I was in the PT Loser. So this was a couple cars ago. This was in college. And at the time, not only did I break the law by taking a left on red, I had also not renewed my registration. My registration was a few months expired. So this cop pulls me over, right? Buffalo cop. I think it was Buffalo. Buffalo or Amherst, whatever side of Main Street. And, you know, he's saying, you know, I pulled you over. Now, I honestly didn't, right? I honestly didn't. And he explained, like, you have to go up and over. You can't just turn. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Sorry. And then you looked at my car. My registration goes, your registration's expired. You know, I could have your car towed. And I said, oh, officer, I didn't notice, which I did. I was lying. I said, I'm sorry, officer. I didn't realize that. So he takes my license, and as soon as he starts going away, someone on his radio, you know, called that he was needed somewhere. And he comes back. I'll never forget this. He comes back and goes, it's your lucky day. You better update your registration tonight. And went to his car. I got no ticket. I could have had my car towed that night, but something else was going on. That guy was needed. I'll never forget. He says, it's your lucky day. Gives me my stuff back and walks to the car. And you better believe that I renewed that registration as soon as I got home. So that's when I hear of that intersection, again, I'm at that intersection often, but Dave bringing up that intersection, I thought I'd share a story about a darker time of Joe Beamer's driving. Not when I was just not, again, not proud of my driving record. But as I've said, no traffic tickets since 2018, and we're going to keep that streak going. When we come back, the fair starts tomorrow. What's your favorite part of the fair? Your least favorite part of the fair? You need to come see the Odyssey tent. What do I need to do at the fair? Give me some suggestions. 803-0930, star 930, back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Your body's cold, but girl, we're getting so warm. Welcome back. Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tanner, I got to ask, how did Metro Station come up?
I just felt like it. I was looking through songs that I've used before because I keep a running log of that, so I'm not like spamming the same songs every day for both you and Tom. I saw that one. I thought, all right, we haven't used this one in a few months, so why not?
That was a very underrated hit from my college years. Metro Station, Shake It. It's funny you play it, though, because yesterday, you ever watch Cody Chow's on YouTube?
Yes.
He referenced Metro Station in a recent video. So he says we got to shake it like Metro Station. Mm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, now look, you played it today.
All right, there's another source I can look for music bump inspiration. Cody Chow's, who would have thought?
Cody Chow's, I'll tell you, Tanner, if this radio thing doesn't work out, do you think I could do something like that, just eat food in my car and get paid for it?
Oh, I'm sure you could. You got the personality for it. And now that with Awaken 180, I'm sure you've learned the art of moderation, so you could balance it.
Yeah, but the problem is the art of moderation. I'm not sure. Cody Chow's is doing 18 burgers from Wendy's in one sit-down.
You like to run a lot. You put strap true. Dawson up in the stroller and take him for a few runs a day.
That is true. That is true. 803-0930, star 930. Shake It Metro Station. That was like it had a very limited run, but was a great song back. It was funny. I was talking to Joe Calley during the break, talking about the Nelly, Ja Rule, Chingy Eve concert over the weekend. Great show, by the way. And again, thanks to Odyssey and Roswell Park for the tickets. It was great though. They were all awesome. Again, I think Nelly's set list was lacking. I think Ja Rule had the best set list. But even during the acts, they're playing music. I felt like I was at a college party. Like I felt like I was back at a college party in 2009. It was a nice flashback, and we had a great time. And you know, I'm doing 5 shows in 5 weeks. Again, thanks to Odyssey and Roswell Park. So at the end of the 5 weeks, I'm going to rank the 5 shows that I went and saw and see if you guys agree or disagree with it. Right now, unfortunately, Collective Soul's at the bottom. Shania's 2, Nelly and Ja Rule number 1. But we have Thomas Rhett and Dierks Bentley coming up, so we'll have to see. Now, the fair starts tomorrow, the Erie County Fair. And as you know, the great listeners of WBEN, I did a 180 on the Erie County Fair. I used to do shows before Tanner's time. I used to do shows about, I don't get the big deal with the fair. Why do people go to the fair numerous times as it's going on? And I, last year, did a 180. I get it. I get the appeal. There is so much to do at the fair. And last year, I just got a little taste of it, right? Because we were on in the morning. Brian and I were on before the fair started. So I didn't spend a lot of time at the fair once it was open. This year, I'll be there every day it's open, 1 to 3. I'm doing the food judging again this year. So you'll get to hear my results Thursday at 1. And I'm wanting to know from you. You know, last year, the big thing I did last year was the Mechanical Bull. That was the highlight of the fair last year. I'm asking this year, what should I do at the fair? Obviously, Blooming Onion has to happen, right? I mean, it's not a fair without a Blooming Onion. Hopefully, Jim's there from Jim's Fries. He'll come and talk with us. We're hoping to talk with someone every day of the week while we're there. But, you know, and I'll probably go back. Let's be honest. I'll probably go back to the Mechanical Bull. If we can find the video from last year and see what my time was, can we beat it this year? Does being thinner equate to a better time on the bull? We're going to have to bring Tanner in, back in for that. Tanner, does being thinner equate better time on the bull this year? Do we have to do the back-to-back to compare?
Oh, we might have to.
Yeah? I'm wondering, because I'll have to find the videos on my phone. But, you know, and compare my time last year and now 50 pounds lighter, do I get a better time for being thinner?
I would say, I wouldn't think so, because, I mean, with the 50 pounds on you, that's more weight holding you down, weighing you down, but then that's also more mass working against you.
Exactly. So easier to control say. Now. Easier to hold myself up. I'm not holding that extra 50 pounds.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be interesting. Oh, you might have to go for round 2 this year. We can make that happen. There's only one way to find out.
We'll do round 2. Don't you worry. We'll do round 2. We also have to check in. You know, last year at the fair, brand manager Lisa Polizzi got a fish at the fair, and we have to check in. Is that fish still living a year later? Did the fish, you know, because she carried it at the fair, she had to bring it all the way home with her. Did that fish survive? Because I remember when I was a kid at the Steuben County Fair in the great town of Bath, New York, and I believe I won a fish. And now my parents can correct me if I'm wrong. I think I won 2 fish at the Steuben County Fair in Bath, and I do think one died on the way home. I think we were only able to get 1 goldfish into the tank from the Steuben County Fair. So I'm wondering if the longevity was there last year. Well, that will be one of the things we check in with. I mean, obviously, you think of the fair, you think of the food, right? You think of the you think of the displays, the exhibits, the shows. Shaggy's going to be there this year. Hoping to get an interview with Shaggy. That would be great. You've got, you know, everything you could ask for from a fair. You've got I've Got It, which obviously going to have to play. You've got the as I said, the Blooming Onion, which is a necessity on the list. That's how you kick off the fair, is with a good Blooming Onion. But what do you look forward to? What is your strategy when you get to the fair? And what's something that I should try? 803-0930, star 930. I don't want to do like, I don't want to do the swings. I've never been, you know, you talk to some people, they say, oh, when I was younger, I would do that. I've never really been the risk taker. You know, I guess I've said things that could get me in trouble, right? That was the risk taking when I was younger. But you hear people talk about, oh, when I was younger, I would have gone on, I would have jumped off this, I would have done that. That was never me. I never had that thrill seeking, right? For me, the Mind Eraser or the Viper, that's the extent of thrill seeking. I wouldn't even go on the Boomerang roller coaster at Darien Lake because I didn't want to go backwards. So the swings at the fair, not something I'm going to do. That's that or like the hurricane thing. No. No thanks. But, and no snakes, okay? We're not going to get the exotic animal guy to bring a snake to the tent and try to, you know, put the snake on Joe. No, we're not doing that. No snakes, okay? I'm game for anything else. I will do almost anything for this radio station. The limit might be snakes, okay? The limit might be snakes. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Joe in West Seneca. Joe, what at the fair are you looking forward to, and what should I try?
You should try Grandma Rose's birch beer. It's kind of like a root beer, but sweeter, a little bit sweeter.
Okay, and now that's the stand like in the middle of the fair. If I'm in the grassy area.
Yeah, they have three of them: one on Slade, one near the dome, and then there's another one down Food Row.
Okay, that we'll put that on the list. What's the name of it again?
Grandma Rose's Birch Beer.
Grandma Rose's Birch Beer. All right, I will try that tomorrow because I'm in a birch beer mood. Joe, do you go at least once every year?
Oh, we go multiple times. Yeah.
What's the big thing? Do you go to any of the shows? What's the big thing for you when you go to the fair?
Mostly the food, Chevetta's.
Oh, yeah. Do you like a Blooming Onion, or are you not in that camp?
Blooming Onion, but mostly fried Oreos.
Oh, yeah, fried Oreos. Fried Oreos came up yesterday, too. Hey, Joe, thanks for the call, and hope to see you at the fair. Hope you'll stop by the table, all right?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Joe in West Seneca, 803-0930, star 930. Again, starting tomorrow, we'll be doing this show every day of the fair, except for Saturdays. This show and Hardline live from the fair. So I can't talk to you when I'm on the air, but during the breaks and stuff, I'd love to meet the fans and the haters. You know, if you say, you know, that Joe Beamer, I can't stand him. Well, come by and say hi. Tell me why. I love good constructive criticism. Eileen in Buffalo. Eileen, what is there to do at the fair? What's on your list?
There's a million things to do, but a couple I want to highlight in case people haven't gotten to them yet. And I agree with all the things your previous caller was saying. But the Ramblin' Lou family band, Ramblin' Lou himself has passed away a few years ago, but his daughter Linda Lou leads the family band. And then they're on the Avenue of Flags at the Ramblin' Lou Theater every day, usually from about 5 to 6:30. They may take a day off on Wednesdays, but I think it's as good as any all-around country show that you would see anywhere, and it's absolutely free, and it's very comfortable outdoor seating. So I hope everybody stops by to see Linda Lou and the Ramblin' Lou family band. I've been seeing it there for 50 years.
A Western New York institution.
Yes, they're amazing, and they really hit on some of the best songs, and their performers are great, and it's a great family spirit, and they love Buffalo. They've been in Nashville, but they're here in Buffalo. The other thing I'm taking advantage of this year is the Taste of the Fair Day, which is on Monday, August 11th, and you go in for your regular admission price, though I did take advantage of getting the advance tickets prior to July 31st for the fair itself, which saved money. But look, what's wonderful about Taste of the Fair Day is you get sample size portions of I think this year at least over 50 different foods for $3 each, because even though I have on occasion almost every year sat down and had a whole Chevetta's dinner, but it's also nice instead of committing your stomach and your food energy into just one thing, for $3 you can get a variety of foods and drinks, desserts, sandwiches, skewers of chicken and beef, pork sliders from Chevetta's, all for $3 each. So if you were planning to spend $30 on dinner, let's say, you can get 10 things instead of buying one $30 dinner.
That's a great point.
So those are just some of the things I also enjoy at the fair, seeing our radio and TV personalities up close and going over and saying hello and telling them how much I appreciate what they do throughout the year.
Well, Eileen, I'm hoping that you're going to put WBEN on that list.
Well, I'd love to see you, and I congratulate you, Joe. We don't share the same political beliefs, and I'm not going to pretend to, but you are fair, you are open, you are polite, you are not sarcastic. I think you're the best thing we have going on in local talk radio net right now, and I hope you have a very long, healthy, happy career here. I love that you're a family man. I love that you talk about your son and how he's growing up and your parents. I think you represent what's best about Western New York, and I do hope that your show is successful. I also am a Democrat, and I really appreciate that you're bringing on Democrats, not to mock them, not to shame them, but to have interaction and share ideas with them, and that's so important.
Well, thank you, Eileen, and if you would like to join us one Wednesday, Eileen, by the way, you can email me. I'm booking people into September now, but I really appreciate that, and you know, that's the goal. The goal is, we know we disagree, but let's highlight those disagreements and let's also attempt to find common ground. If they're not going to do it in D.C., well, damn it, we're going to do it 1-3 here on WBEN.
And at the fair. So bless you and your family and have a good time at the fair.
Thank you, Eileen. You too. Really appreciate the call. Eileen in Buffalo. By the way, the taste of the fair is also one of my favorite days because everyone will bring their sample that they're offering to the tent. And then I get to talk about it to all you, which is great. And also, if you hear the PA announcement for the Taste of the Fair, it might be a very familiar voice. That is about all for me today. Don't forget, tomorrow we are live at the fair. Kevin Hardwick at 1:35 will join the program as our Democrat for Democrat Wednesday. And yes, we'll have things that we'll debate, but I'm sure Kevin and I can find common ground. So hope to look forward to that. And again, the people that I regularly talk about, I would love to have a Mark Poloncarz take the segment. He won't. But I think, again, if he cares about his constituents, no matter where they stand politically, he would come on. But that's a different topic for a different day. Coming up next, it is Tom Bowerly on this Tuesday. Hey, Tom.
Joe, I just love how fair you are with everybody. You are the best thing ever. I remember how fair the Democrats were to us during COVID. Yes. I remember how fair the Democrats were with bail reform. I remember how fair the Democrats were with taxation and chasing so much of the population in New York State away and California away, doing a bang-up job, Democrats. I can't find any middle ground with these people. Sorry.
Yeah,
I think they've lost their minds.
I think a lot of them have.
By the way, a man is a woman. We believe in science during the pandemic, but when it comes to chromosomes and gender, we alter our views.
Did you see that
bunch
clip?
Of hypocrites.
This is from a few months ago on CNN, where the guy just starts yelling at Schermichael on the Abby Phillips show. Because I'm not going to sit here and listen to transphobia. Like they melt down if someone's talking against their point of view.
Hey, any lawyer out there, I think a growing area of personal injury litigation is going to be people who are now kids who grow up. I think they're going to be coming after the doctors, the social workers, and everybody who encouraged them to destroy their bodies with hormones and surgical mutilation.
You're already seeing it. You're already seeing it. There's the woman who's on Fox all the time, who was trans at a younger age, and now she's talking about how her parents kind of pressured her into it, and
because they wanted to virtue signal to all their cocktail party friends. Well, we have a child who is trans.
Exactly. That makes
us really good people.
They use their kids as a point of conversation instead of what they really want.
Yeah. Anyway, coming up,
after 3 o'clock, one of the things we're going to get into is, you know, Joe, there was a time many years ago when the 6:30 news, very, very important. But I'm trying to figure out from where people are getting their national news. Obviously, everybody gets their local news from News Radio 930 WBEN, and we do a fair amount of national as well. But the network newscasts are way down. I mean, CNN, nobody watches it. Even Fox has lost a bunch of viewers. And obviously, the viewing habits of America have changed. And one of the other things that I want to throw in, something I mentioned yesterday, these AI videos and audios are just another way to muddy the truth, because we don't know anymore if what we are seeing is real or if it was made up by AI, like David's interview with Amelia Earhart today.
Exactly.
Stunning.
How scary, though. Very scary.
Yeah, that didn't sound anything like Amelia Earhart, by the way. Amelia Earhart did not have a British accent.
Oh, could have fooled me.
Maybe she did after she died. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe she crashed in England, not the Pacific. Just a thought.
Well, the National Enquirer told me during my childhood, Tom, that she never crashed, that she was living on a deserted island.
Well, there have been a number of theories about Amelia Earhart, such as the Japanese took her as a POW, thinking she was actually on a reconnaissance mission for the United States government, which is just silly. But anyway, we'll never know probably what happened to Amelia Earhart, but a lot of people listening don't even know who she was.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Tom, looking forward to it.
Amelia Earhart, by the way, she was right before Caitlin Clark in the WNBA. Just so you know.
She was brought to the court first.
Yep, absolutely. I know my history.
Thank you, Tom. We'll hear from Tom in just a few minutes. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 live from the Erie County Fair.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.